I got a question for you this morning. You ready for this? Here it is. I want you, so wherever you're at, maybe with your family, and I want you to think about what is that one song that when you hear the first bar of that song, you hear the first few notes of that song and kind of the rhythm of that song. When you hear that, you know exactly what song that is, right? It kind of gets you excited. Maybe it takes you back to another place in time, if you will. What's that song for you, right? So here it is. You got it? Can you think of it? All right, I'm going to count to three. And what I want you to do is to say that song out loud, right? So here you go. Probably with your family, or maybe at home this morning, or by yourself, you know. And if you're by yourself, don't worry. Nobody will hear you, right? So you can say it as loud as you want. So you ready? Here we go. On the count of three, what is that song? I want you to say it out loud. One, two, three. Here's the funny thing. I bet that probably your song was not the same song as the person next to you, or maybe somebody else in the room, right? So you all had different songs that you were thinking of, that kind of you connect with. And I tell you what, I love how good music is, that you know it can connect with different people, and those rhythms, songs just kind of connect, and they kind of just draw you in, right? And so it's kind of like you're driving in your car, the song comes on, and are you the kind of person that likes to play in your steering wheel, you know, kind of you're trying to beat it out, or you're sitting at a stoplight and that song comes on the radio and it's just starting and you start dancing in your car, you know, the people, you know, you're the one that people look at and go, crazy, you know, I don't know, that'd probably be me, right? So that would be watching me just sort of dance and get excited. Anyway, so I love how good music is in that way. And I think that's a great message that relates to our relationship with God, and that's where I want to focus this morning. You know, music has these patterns that repeat, right, over and over. And the beautiful thing is that when you take different rhythmic patterns and you put them together, you can create these beautiful melodies. And you put that with some very powerful lyrics, and you get some amazing songs that just can go from generation to generation. And they just become sort of etched, you know, in stone as kind of a great song of a whole generation. And so wherever you're at today, you've probably got a song that maybe does that for you. And I love the idea that I think, that God wants our lives to have rhythms that build beautiful melodies with powerful messages that attract people. That sort of attract people to want to know about the God that we love and that we serve and who's a part of our lives and has really changed our lives through our relationship with Him. It takes me back, actually, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because, in that story, Moses, he's with the Israelites. Now, he's with the second generation because the first have already passed away. And they're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. And so Moses is with them, and he's reminding them of what God had already done for them and what He had given to them. Because if you can remember, if you know the story, He had all back in Exodus, He had given them the Ten Commandments. And so He had entered into a covenant with them. And Moses was reminding them that God had said, if you live that rhythm, living out those commandments, living that rhythm of obedience to God every day, of loving God and loving your neighbor every day, that they were going to enjoy His blessings. And that meant they were going to enjoy blessings of longevity, lineage, and land. And you like those L's I put in there, right? Yeah, there we go. I knew you'd love that. Yeah, there we go. And so, they'd find peace and rest from their enemies. As well, they would get to enjoy God's presence among them, and they would get to enjoy His listening ear, as they live that rhythmic pattern in their lives. And what I find ultimately that the rhythm of obeying God for them was going to cultivate this culture that was going to basically be a blessing to people, foreign and domestic. And that's what I think speaks so powerfully to us in any culture, in any time, but it's really in this time that we're in today. And I'm going to kind of get to that at the end, speak specifically to that. But I think one of the ways we could think about this idea of, you know, might call the rhythm of walking daily in obedience to God is the thought of that rhythm being us listening to God's word. Hopefully that, you know, part of time that you have spent or maybe do spend or maybe even thought about spending is having time to listen to God speak into your heart through his word. Taking that time to try to just focus on God's word and what he might be trying to teach you and to teach us through his word. And that rhythm of listening and that rhythm of trying to focus, you know, doesn't mean that you never get distracted or that you're doing a constant, you know, just, boy, you're never missing a beat every single day. But that time, even, you know, maybe you do forget or maybe you get sidetracked or maybe you got something you got to just do right now, but yet you come back and you just keep coming back. And that rhythm of just trying to walk in that daily seeking and learning and listening to God to enjoy the blessings of his peace with you as you're going through those days. And that's kind of the heartbeat of what I'm wanting to get across today. But I did want us to not forget or maybe to learn today for the first time that God's word, that the scriptures, right, is that key place that God really loves to speak to us and to teach us from. And one of the great writers that understood this was the Apostle Paul. And in his letter to Timothy, he wrote these words about the scriptures. And he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's God-inspired. It's the wisdom that he is giving to us. It's come from him. And he says that scripture, those writings, he said they're useful for teaching and also for rebuking and also for correcting and training in righteousness so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That in fact, God really does want us to live our days doing the works of our days that we do in a way that would be trained by the things that he wants to teach us through his word, which is really teaching us about his heart and how we can live in a relationship with him day in and day out and enjoy the blessing of his presence in our lives in a very pretty awesome way. And so I thought of maybe a really practical way of thinking through this that might you might connect with. I know it connects with me, and I thought, well, I'll just speak from what I know and my experiences. And that is, you ever hear the phrase taming the tongue, right? If you ever get a chance to read in the book of James in the New Testament, James, that he writes about the idea of taming the tongue. And it's the idea of kind of check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? I know I'm kind of going old school a little bit. But think about what you're going to say before you say it and think about how you're going to say that and pay attention to that and the timing of what you say, like all of that together so that, you know, you don't say something in a way that's not going to reflect the heart of God and it's something you can't take back. And so we probably all know the weight and the pain of when we haven't done that very well. I know I sure have. And so, you know, the idea of this rhythm is trying to practice what we learn. And part of what we learn is that we ought to speak and do so in ways that would encourage and lift others up. And I get, you know, we need to speak the truth and you know, we need to hold each other accountable and not be afraid to, you know, say what needs to be said sometimes in our relationships with folks. And yet the way that we say it and what we choose to say is a way for us to practice the rhythm of love. And I think that goes a long way for us, especially when we're out in public. You know, you go in the grocery store, you're out driving, people are sitting there, you know, they're not going when the light turns green because they're the one that's sitting there and their favorite song just came on the radio and they're dancing in their car and you want to go, right? So you ever have? Yeah, I know you do. I do too. I got one. This morning, in fact, I was coming to church and I was running a little errand on my way, And so I pulled in the parking lot to get a cup of coffee that I was getting. And the person that was in front of me had not placed an online order. And I thought, why would you not have already placed your order so that you could swing by and pick it up? Because didn't you know that I was going to be coming and I needed to pick up what I needed so that I could keep going? And so how did you not know that? Right. And that's so silly. But that is that not kind of sometimes maybe how we feel and think, and we get frustrated because someone didn't meet our expectations in a moment, and we got super frustrated, and we wanted to say something, and we could feel it, and I'm serious. I was sitting in my vehicle, and I could feel the frustration starting to rise because I'm like, I want to get going. And I was like, Andy, slow your roll. Wait. This is just a moment. How I respond in this moment says about the God that I worship and serve. And it's that rhythm of that moment can be a moment to either choose love or to choose to act angrily out of frustration. And I was grateful that I didn't lose it and say or do something, you know, honking that horn, laying on the horn. You ever do that? Yeah. And so, you know, basically the thought for us in this is that, you know, the rhythm of responding with patience and mercy, you know, being humble, being respectful, it helps build a godly life much more than being passive aggressive or being outright spiteful or disrespectful with somebody in a moment where you just kind of feel charged emotionally and you're just kind of angry, right? Because again, they didn't meet your expectation. That rhythm of trying to choose love goes a lot farther and does a lot more for the kingdom than just responding out of the emotional frustrations. Doesn't mean we can't feel the frustration, but the idea is that the rhythm needs to be one that attracts people to the goodness of the good God who we serve and worship, who's our creator, who is our savior, who's the lover of our souls, he who is with us day in and day out through our faith. You know, and I was thinking about this idea on a rhythm. I thought, you know what? Like a good rhythm. You thought I was going to say like a good neighbor, didn't you? I know it. I could tell. In your home, you were waiting for that to come out. I know. I'm not going there. But isn't that the power of a good series of notes, right, in a rhythm? It gets you, and it pulls you in. Like a good rhythm sets up, I think, good melody. That good rhythms of holy obedience to God create melodies that attract our neighbors to God's love. I think it draws folks in. Good rhythms get people's attention. You know, being a pastor over the last, 15 years, that I've been in the Church of God. And in the Church of God, there's a couple that has written a lot of hymns and songs that many churches have used, and Bill and Gloria Gaither, you may have heard of them, probably have, if you have some good church background, and so they're Church of God folks, and so one of the great songs that they wrote that really got embraced was the fake song called Family of God, and so whenever I was in a church with folks that knew that song, I tell you without fail, all the person on playing keys had to do was to start playing the intro to that song, and everybody knew it so well that you could just almost feel like the atmosphere in the room would start to change because that rhythm, that melody would just draw people in, and they would start to get excited because they saw that song as this anthem of their faith, right, about what they believe about salvation and how blessed they are to have God's blessings in their life as a part of the family of God. And so you would just see this joy and this, you know, when you sing a song like you own it, like you do, you know, when you're singing Nobody Else Is Around, right, that kind of thing. They would just sing that song, and it was so much fun, and I just loved being a part of that through the years. It was just really good. And it makes me think of Deuteronomy 4 again, like with Moses, because, you know, when Moses was talking to that second generation, he was telling them that, look, your rhythm of obedience to God's commands, that rhythm is going to do likewise. It's going to attract people to understand and to be drawn to this God that we worship and serve, who is the one true God. And God did this for a couple of reasons. So let me just kind of teach for a moment, right, on this. I think because, it's helpful. You know, one of the reasons God did this with him was because, first of all, it was going to give Israel a structure in which to live in a relationship to a God who is perfectly holy and pure. They needed that structure. And so the Ten Commandments were that structure for them. And of course, all the other laws that got developed. But at the heart of it, we know, was the Ten Commandments. And, you know, if you read some of their story, then you will learn that Israel discovered that they couldn't fulfill that covenant perfectly. And so this is why Jesus had to come to earth and had to become our righteousness so that we could live in that relationship with God. And through loving God and loving our neighbor, we could fulfill our part of that covenant. Of course, God always fulfills his part of the covenant. And so they needed Jesus. They needed to be looking forward to Jesus. And then we need that same to accept Jesus today. So we need his righteousness. And in Christ, we have that structure to have that rhythm, to live in that, and to know the fruit of his presence in our lives. Well, the second reason that God gave that structure to them and that rhythm for their life was that, you know, when they would live out those commands, okay, to the best of their ability, the idea was that the way that culture would be, the way it would become, would in fact it would distinguish the God of the Israelites from all the other gods of the ancient Near East, because they were on two different ends of the spectrum. Because you see, the God of the Israelites, he is, as always, but holy and graceful and merciful and just in all things. But you see, the gods of the ancient Near East that all the other cultures had developed, they were just the opposite. You see, their personas were selfish and they were prideful and they were greedy. They were self-absorbed. You know, it was all about please me, right? And that's the way that the people understood the gods that they wanted to create, if you will, and to worship, because that's what they knew. They didn't know the God of the Israelites yet. They didn't know the truth of how good God really is, the one true living God really is. And by the rhythm of their obedience, you know, the Israelites, then these other folks would sort of, it would catch their attention. And from that, it would show them that there is a life that can be enjoyed when you live obediently to God through your faith. And those blessings that Israel would enjoy, that the other nations could find, that they could enjoy that same peace if they would worship the same God of the Israelites, who is the God that we serve, who is our Creator, our Savior, as I said earlier. You know, the neat thing is that, you know, during that time, just like during our time today, folks wanted to worship and believe in that type of God, a good God who is graceful and merciful and full of peace and who gives hope and joy and love. People long for that. They want that in their lives. A lot of folks just don't know that that is available in God through Jesus Christ, but it is. It truly is. And I think that leads us to Jesus. You know, here at New Hope, one of the things that we do all the time is we try to figure out and understand how what we're talking about connects with Jesus, right? We can be in the Old Testament, we can be in the New Testament, but how does it connect to Jesus? And I think the beautiful way that this idea of living a life of, right, the rhythm of obedience, I think one of the beautiful ways it connects is that, you know, Jesus came to earth and part of his responsibility, and his main responsibility, was to live this rhythmic, patterned sort of life with this, the creating this melody, and with all that he taught, right, in addition to what he did, created a beautiful song that would, that drew people to the truth. Jesus himself came so that we could better know God, so that we could personally know him through our salvation. I love a God that loves us so much. He was willing to come to earth and be an example to teach us and pave the way so that we could live the life that we were created to live. To me, that's a good and a loving God. Think back to Jesus in his ministry. One of the early invitations of Jesus came from him to his disciples. He told his disciples, he said, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And at another point in time, he said, "You know, love one another as I have loved you. And by this, the world will know that you're my disciples." And I love taking those and sort of paraphrasing that together and thinking of it this way. You know, it's almost like Jesus is saying, come, walk in rhythmic step with me daily as I live in obedience to the will of my Father, right? I'll teach you the rhythm. I'll teach you what that melody of the talking and the walking, what it looks like, what it sounds like. I'll teach you that. I'll give you the ability to be able to live that life so that the melody your life creates will be attractive to other people. It'll draw them to want to know me for the life that they're longing to have, that they were created to have. And I think that's the invitation of the church still today. I don't believe that's left at all. It's still before us. The invitation is that you and I, that we would live day in and day out so that the rhythms of our obedience to God in his word, the essential love God, love your neighbor, right? Living that out daily, would preach the gospel loud enough that, you know, we only need to use words when necessary. Have you ever heard that, right? It's like preach the gospel and use words if necessary. We have to use words to tell the story of what Jesus did. But the idea is that the rhythm of how we live and what we do and how we do it will align with the heart of what Jesus has done and made possible for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Live so that the rhythm of your life will attract people to the truth of God's love for them in Christ, and use words when necessary. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I figure you did. And now let me do this. Here's why I think this is so relevant today. And again, I already gave you part of my experience this morning that was making this as real as even this very morning, right? Because it was hitting me. You know, we're starting, at least in southern Indiana, we're starting to experience a rise in the number of people that are able to get out in public and go places and you know, go to businesses and all sorts of stuff. Working, some folks are getting back to work now after being a while, or it's getting ready to happen. And so, you know, it doesn't take too long to be driving around, and you notice there's a lot more cars that are out and about than there used to be. And one of the things that I'm noticing is that, you know, when you get a lot more folks out there, you find that people sometimes can be frustrating because not everybody knows what you're expecting and they don't always meet your expectations, and that can get a little frustrating. And in those moments when that may happen or you feel it rising, you know, this getting right, it's happening in front of you, it creates an opportunity for us to consider, what will our rhythm be? What will be that pattern of how we will live in those moments? Right? What's the melody going to be that we're going to choose to embrace in those moments? Because no doubt, if you haven't been out lately, when you get back out after having maybe been at home for a long time and you're all of a sudden around a bunch of people, or if you haven't been out driving for a while and then you're out driving with a bunch of people, it won't take too long you know, kind of annual road construction, right? Because it's summer, so we need to shut down a bunch of stuff so we can fix the roads, and which is good. But there's just a lot of dynamics that we have to get hit with all at one time. And so what will our rhythm be as we're stepping back into that? That's a question each of us have to answer. Will it be the rhythm of listening and focusing on God's words of Scripture and what God may want to teach us and challenge us and where He may want to grow us in those moments that we're, you know, having or going to have here shortly? Will it be trying to practice what we learn from God's word so that even if maybe we don't do it right this time, we say, you know what? I'm committed to do it better the next time. God, by your grace, help me, because I want my life to be a melody that attracts people to your goodness, because that's what I know you have saved me and you invited me to do with my life. Will it be extending God's grace and his mercy and his, you know, justice and pleasant ways to teach our kids, to be an example to our neighbors, to our extended family members, about the good God who saves us, who loves us, who has good in store for your future with him? What will it be? And here's another one. Will it be a rhythm that attracts people to that good way of life that God has promised to bless? What will that rhythm be? My hope for all of us here at New Hope and whoever, you know, if you're part of family and watching from other places and other states, no matter where you're at or what your life is like right now, God has said in his word that if we will trust in him and walk through life with him by the power of his Spirit in us through Christ, that we will experience the blessings of God, of his hope, his peace, his joy, his love, and that life will be a blessing to other people. And we'll teach other folks, we'll teach the world about the good God who loves us and who can forever change their life if they'll come to know Jesus as their Savior. I want to pray for us this morning. Would you join me as I pray? God, I'm grateful that your word reminds us that how we live our daily life really is important. It's good for us to know Jesus as our Savior. It is good to be a part of the church. It is good to have the freedom of living daily with your grace and your mercy. And it's good that we have the opportunity to share your love with our neighbors, our community members, our coworkers, folks around the world, wherever we find ourselves going, but especially in our own homes. And that the rhythm of how we love other people and love you will draw people to you through your grace. Help us to hold on to that. Help our passion for that to grow by the presence of your grace at work in us. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to be a part of your church in this season that we're in. Help our rhythms to be a blessing to other people around us for your glory and honor. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray and worship today. Amen. Amen, folks. Thanks for joining in today, and we look forward to being with you again shortly, and look forward to having another Seeds of Hope coming out this week as well. May the Lord bless you as you go. May his grace and his peace be upon you. May his joy be rich within your heart, and may you enjoy the blessings of his love wherever you go. Amen.